This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters right now, the show where we talk about issues driving the press and making headlines around the world. Now, a recent headline in our local politics has to do with a power struggle in one of the country's largest parties, UMNO. And today we're speaking with the author of that article, Mohsin Abdullah, contributing editor at The Edge. Thank you for joining us, Mohsin.
Thank you for having me again.
So perhaps maybe set the scene for us a little bit. Tell us about your article and how did it come to your attention?
Well, this thing about groups within a party is nothing new. You know, leaders will have their supporters, even among the same party. So some people would like Mr. A because of he is... gung-ho, maybe, as a thief and all that. Some say this another leader is better with that kind of approach. So, a matter of approach. So, based on that, you're going to have camps, right? So, it's nothing surprising. Then we somehow, there's this rumor saying Najib as far as UMNO is concerned, Najib is coming, is wanting to come back, or he's being urged by his friends or supporters to come back and all that. But that this talk is much more, much more frequent, if that is the correct word to use, for Zahid Hamidi, because he is still the president. He is technically on leave. And so that's how it all started. And one or two, I think the local media did pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
Singapore State Sam did, you know, quoting sources and say that there's this thing about wanting to ousting Zahid and Najib from the party itself. So that's how it got into my attention.
So what about the current acting president, Mohamed Hassan? What is your sense of his support within UMNO?
He is very popular, yeah, especially now. He used to be, or rather he is still very popular in his home state of Negeri Sembilan, especially his constituency. But the thing is, since he is at the helm, or being asked to take over from Zahid, and that UMNO has won 3 by-elections, so people put him in high regard. And based on talk with some UMNO members and political analysts, and that, yeah, he's popular and he can do things as some people say. But on the other hand, when you talk to the wrong people, or rather, you talk to some other people, you just say that he is there by
luck, yeah.
Yeah, and some of the, I've heard people saying he knows how to play the game. So that is open to interpretation, how you interpret people say you know how to play the game. But then I suppose politicians do that. That's what they do.
Okay, so how then has Dato' Sri Najib and Zahid, how have they maintained their popularity within UMNO, despite being charged with corruption and being in court? Because obviously this fact is the one that's been causing so much controversy because the possible amendment may make it difficult for them to return to the party in any kind of leadership capacity. And yet it seems like they still command a support within UMNO. How have they managed to maintain that?
That's the beauty of UMNO, I suppose. Beauty in quotes, of course. The patronage has always been the thing in the party. So despite all the charges and all that, you've got people very, very loyal to both of them, either out of true loyalty or something else. But that is the thing. But first thing first, you know, this thing about amendment, at this point of time, we're not that sure whether the amendment will go on, you know. because the earlier talk is there would be amendment just for the main thing would be for Sabah UMNO to have more autonomy.
Mm.
This is after UMNO has lost, so they need to do some new things. So they said, okay, it would be good for the party for Sabah UMNO to have autonomy without having to refer to UMNO equality in Kuala Lumpur. They can do what they want, you know, for the good of the party, of course. Then that's it. Then this story about the real amendment would be to prevent or to push people out from the party based on their charges in court, mm-hmm. and all that. And Khalid Nordin, the vice president, has denied. But when I asked one of Zahid's closest aide, he did not answer. He just gave me a sort of a media statement, or I would say it's a protest note from Datuk Lokman Nur Adam. He is a loyalist of Najib and Zahid. He'll be at the forefront of all kind of things supportive of these two leaders. Anyway, he is also a member of the Supreme Council, and he said Khalid presented a draft of the amendment at the Supreme Council meeting, and it there were provisions in the draft that clearly wanted clearly can pave the way for the removal of Najib and Zahid. He used the word singkir. Singkir is ousting or
sidelining, perhaps.
Get rid of. So that is the main thing. Now that, so to answer your question earlier on, the beauty of UMNO is that Najib has got his own supporters, so to Zahid. But for the amendments to be passed, assuming that is the amendment, you need to have two-thirds majority, I think. And you've got to bring it to the EGM, sorry. And it will split UMNO right in the middle.
Mm.
Because, you know, there's no doubt there are people who want these two out because of their problems and all that. But at the same time, there are people who want them to stay. So it can be very nasty, I would say.
I'm actually curious to know more about Najib's support within UMNO, specifically whether his supporters mainly comprise long-time loyalists or whether these are new supporters who have flocked to his flag since he has been ousted as Prime Minister.
I would say status quo. I mean, I would say his supporters have always been there and they did not waver, you know.
Mm.
And then maybe out of, you know, like I said, there's so many reasons for them to be loyal. And of course, there's this thing about not being, you don't step on people who are already down, that kind of thing, especially among Malays.
I see.
Oh, okay, he's down, so do you abandon him? No, we can't abandon him. So we stick to him. So it's just not nice, not within our culture to just abandon people just like that. So they continue to support him.
I see. And so in regards to the camps within UMNO, we've been speaking about the Datuk Sri Najib Razak's camp, Datuk Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi's camp, and Mohamed Hassan. But what about other players in the field? Like, for example, Khairi Jamaluddin. Now, he's been somewhat quiet over the past couple of months. So where does he lie in this? Has he thrown his support behind a particular camp?
Yeah, he is very quiet of late, which is a bit surprising, or maybe not that surprising. Maybe he's just trying to figure things out and all that. And as far as his support, he used his support for Mohamed Hassan because they come from the same constituency. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he has always been he is a supporter of Omar Hassan. Then, by virtue of them being from the same constituency in Negeri Sembilan, and to say beyond that, I can't say it at the moment. You know, where is he? What are his next steps and things like that?
So we're speaking to Mohsin Abdullah, contributing editor at The Edge. And after this, we'll take a closer look at what a power struggle within UMNO could mean for the UMNO PAS collaboration. Stay tuned to The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark, and you're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we discuss issues driving the press and making headlines around the world. Today, we're speaking to Mohsin Abdullah, contributing editor at The Edge, about an article that he wrote about a power struggle within UMNO. So now, Mohsin, I'd like to know your opinion on how this may affect the UMNO and PAS collaboration that's been the talk of the town somewhat in the last few months.
Basically, I don't think it will affect anything for now. Because some people tell me that it's a two different thing, right? This UMNO-PAS collaboration and this problem within UMNO. But then some people are saying, yeah, but somehow it will affect the whole system, the whole thing that they have. They are lining up what to do and all that. But then it's all this thing, you know. But I can say I would like to believe now, you know, that even if you change leaders from, you maintain Mohamed Hassan or maybe Zahid comes back, it's not going to change anything as far as this past UMNO pact is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because already now, both sides, not the leaders, the supporters, are claiming that, because it's they see it as a success so far, you know, based on the 3 by-election wins.
Yes.
So they're saying, no, it's my boss who this thing came from my boss. And the other group would say, no. It's my boss' idea in the first place. So based on that, this thing will go on. This pact and all that. It will pose some problems within itself, but not because of this struggle in UMNO.
So even if we see a rejigging of party leadership, as you described, perhaps Mohamed Hassan stays, perhaps we see a return to Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi, do you see the play-up of Malay rights and Islam continuing to be a huge card to be played by UMNO and PAS all the way up to GE15?
Yeah, sadly, yes. That's the sad part of the Malaysian politics at this point of time. Yeah, it's always been like that. Yes, race has always been an issue, but now there's this step up towards all kind of rhetorics.
And it is quite
religion.
Yeah, and it is quite a step up, right? Because UMNO in history was not necessarily a party that has swung quite so far right. They've actually at points been representative of quite a moderate Malay demographic.
True, but then since they lost power, I suppose they see that is the fastest way to regain whatever they lost, and now they've got this collaboration with PAS. Religion come in naturally, I suppose, just to get support. And the sad part is quite a substantial number of Malay Muslim are lapping it up.
Mm.
That is to me, it's a bit, not odd, it's kind of a bit sad.
Is it also reflective of the shortcomings of the Pakatan Harapan government, in your opinion, because they haven't yet managed to successfully address, for example, cost of living issues and B40 issues? If they do this, do you think that the tide could turn perhaps against this kind of race and religious rhetoric?
Yes, yes and no. The thing is, there are people say, you know, within Pakatan, you take care of this bread and butter issues, and naturally this race and racial thing will go away. But there's still people in Pakatan who think otherwise. They say, no, you take care of bread and butter, you put meal on the table, jobs and all that, but still, religion is very close to the heart of Muslim, which is true, which is true. So even if you are okay, I mean, based on current situation, I've got friends, you know, who are well-to-do, you're okay, they're engineers and doctors and all that,
mm-hmm.
but they still feel some sort of, they believe that, you know, Islam is under threat, under siege, that kind of thing. And they're okay financially. So, I don't know what Pakistan is going to do. But, yeah, there's a lot of talk that they're going to take this hate on and things like that. But so far, it's just as how we see it today, you know. And I think, I've been saying this so many times, you know, of this Pakatan caught between rock and hard place. So, they, on one hand, if they go against it, they'll be exploited like hell, and they're going to lose Malay support. On the other hand, they don't do anything, or sort of seen as you know, trying to be pacified here and there, it won't work. Caught again. So, meaning they've got to go back to the drawing table and think very deep. that's how I see it.
Okay. And with this current power grab almost in mind, how would you characterize the different factions within UMNO now? Is it still divided along more personality-based politics, or is it more along the lines of perhaps what level of moderate Malay you are?
No, I think it's more on personality and based on approach, you know, style of leadership. There are people who like, you know, leaders who are more bold, upfront. But there are some people who like the Abdullah Badawi kind of leadership, accommodating and yes, and, you know. So based on that, you're going to have this band of supporters here and there. It won't be any. It's not about ideology or anything else. Because the objective, the ideology, they're all the same. Because they're all from the same party. That's why they are in the party in the first place. But it's a matter of approach, style, and leadership.
So, but do they all espouse the same ideologies? Because, you know, as you mentioned earlier as well, it's quite common within political parties to see different factions splitting off. And you see this case perhaps more in other countries where within a particular party, like the Conservative Party in the UK, for example, you do see different political and ideological factions even within the party. Is this not something that we see in UMNO?
We do see this thing, but not to that level of, you know, of, yeah, they can agree to disagree, but not per se. So basically, I agree everything, you know, but then the side should be this.
Mm.
That is the situation. Yeah, you can agree, but then unless, you know, it's a big thing that they are fighting over, then you can see a split, like back in 87 when there's a thing. But even that is not because of ideology; it's because of, you know, one faction lost and all that. So they left UMNO to form another party, Semangat,
mm-hmm.
46. But currently, that thing won't be happening. That I just don't see it happening.
Okay. Thank you so much for speaking to us, Mohsin. I've been speaking to Mohsin Abdullah, contributing editor at The Edge. And that's all we have on Pressing Matters on The Morning Run today. Stay tuned, VFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.